Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Or does now everything work out in our favor? And I'm speaking to a lot of different types of people tonight. I want to speak to those of you that are on the fringe of whether or not you want God, or those of you that are new believers, or those of you that are seasoned believers. Because I think a lot of times we just assume that church is supposed to go a certain way. Like, you know, if you've been here for X amount of time, maybe you've been with us the entire time we've been in the book of Acts. And so you know what to expect. But I want to remind everybody here that God wants to do more in your life. Whatever the pinnacle is, you've reached it, and you're like, does it get any better than this? Well, we'll find out tonight. Am I able to go further? We'll find out tonight. Because what happened in the book of Acts, just we're going all the way up to chapter 17. Pastor Hector and basically stopped us at 16. He finished 16. We'll pick back up on 17 next week. But basically, we have Jesus coming before the apostles, and he says this particular statement to us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth." That you will. Well, no, Tom, he was talking to those guys back there. Yeah, but then God influenced the writers to write it down so that you and I could read it in 2022. So that we would now take on this discipleship, this witnessing, and go out and tell people. It's interesting when you look up what a witness is, it's one that gives evidence of. Are you somebody who is clearly a piece of evidence of the reality of God? I don't know when you got saved. I don't know when you gave your life over to Christ. I don't know when you got baptized. But has it been evident ever since then that God is doing something in your life? Or did you just pick up a new hobby on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights? Because we don't need another devotional book. We don't need another worship song. We don't need another one of these pep talks. We need Jesus. We need to have a very real relationship with God, because as you begin to look through the book of Acts, you see these men and women go through terrible circumstances, and all they have to do is shut up about Jesus and it all stops. They're threatened to be killed. They're threatened to be kicked out and put on trial and put in prison. We see people that do actually end up dying. We see people that are imprisoned for a long amount of time in disgusting environments, and they still go, "Listen, Jesus is real. And I'm not, you can do whatever you want to me." How do we get here is the name of this evening's message. How do I get here? You have a real relationship with God. Maybe you fell into the rut like me, where you come in and you know, well, I know that if I show up 10 minutes late, then I miss majority of worship. I don't got to sing. And then I get to sit down. I get to listen. You get into the routine of, well, I hope this person's funny that speaks, or I hope it really goes to what I want. Or maybe you find yourself in these ruts where church all of a sudden becomes about us. How did we get here? Because in the book of Acts, the original church, we see that what happened was is they encountered the living God, and it changed them to where they said, "I'll give up and do anything. I will be beaten." We see Paul is beaten. to the point of death. They thought he was dead. Then he wakes back up and goes right back into the city that nearly killed him. How do we get here? It's with a real encounter with Jesus Christ. Jesus even tells us in Revelation, he's speaking to a specific church, a group of people, and says, you do a lot of really good things, but you forgot how to love me. You forgot what it's like to just be here at my feet and just let me love you. A lot of us are like that one sister in scripture that we like to clean. We like to, God, look what I'm doing. Look at who I brought to church and look at my accomplishments. And God, he smiles. That's great. But he loved you and died for you before you even did anything for him. And we see here that the very presence of God lived inside of every single one of these believers. 3,000 people got saved that day, and it was just an overflow of the Spirit. It says in Scripture that they were going house to house to encourage one another. There are some historians that talk about the negative rumors that were started about the early church, but it didn't stop them. They continued to love. They continued to sing psalms and hymns over each other. They would get together. They would encourage one another. They knew the person's names that actually sat next to them in those houses. They knew them. They didn't idolize anybody. They didn't think that one of them was holier than the other. They were eager to hear the stories of the apostles. They were eager to then be witnesses out there praying for people, believing that all they were was just evidence of a living God. And I want to remind you here today, I've got one point for you. I made tonight really, really easy. God wants to show you how much he loves you. I don't know if that's for everybody or if that's for one specific person, but God wants to show you that he loves you. If you've ever been in that situation, you're like, God, listen, I got salvation and that's great. And I get it. I think these certain thoughts, you probably want nothing to do with me. And God goes, that's actually the exact opposite. I want to shower you with my love. I want to prove to you that I hear your prayers, but you got to come to him. You've got to give him the things that you care about, not what you think he cares about. We do that sometimes. At least I'm guilty of it. And we see the effect that these people have on the world. Because when the Holy Spirit fell, it changed them. And maybe you're in a place right now that you can remember. Maybe you were here, maybe it was another church, but you can remember, man, I remember when I fell in love and the wide-eyed wonder of God was in my life and I was in Bible studies and I was praying and I was doing these things. Well, how did I get where I'm at now? Do you have your relationship with God like you had before? Is he truly your everything? Do you not make an important decision without him? Do you start your morning in conversation with him? And I'm not talking about a cup of coffee with your Bible or your Jesus calling or whatever. I'm saying a real conversation with him. So I want to open up tonight for the new believers. For all of you new believers out here online, we're going to worship. That's why the band's still here. We're going to worship. And it's not for you to do anything fake. But we're going to get into a real encounter with God. However that looks for you. For you new believers, what do you pray about? What do you do in this time? I would encourage you to ask God what is most important for you to focus on right now. What is most important for you and God? Because a lot of times we try to clean up our whole life. And God goes, I just want to work on this one part first. For you decent believers, you've been in the game a couple years, ask God to confirm something that you need, that he needs you to do. God, I kind of feel like I'm supposed to do this thing, but I need you to speak to me because I'm not making a decision unless you tell me. For you that have been following Jesus, you're seasoned. You've got your scriptures down. You've led your Bible studies. You know what to do. I encourage you that you would ask God where you can help in the church. Is there something that has been weighing on your heart that you care about that you go, God, I kind of feel like you're telling me that that's my thing, but I need you to show me. I need you to speak to me. And if there's anybody in this place that you're like, listen, Tom, I just got some terrible news before coming in here. Do I really have to do the thing that you're suggesting? Not at all. Because ultimately, this time is for spouses to pray with their spouses, for fathers and mothers to pray for their kids, for people who need prayer over specific areas to do just that and say, God, this is my time with you. And we will be here. There's an altar here that maybe you've never come to before. Because maybe you knew that the routine was we go 1-1-1, then it goes to the worship songs. Some person comes out and does announcements. Then we go into one more, and then we go into worship. But the whole point tonight was let's do it different. Let's continue this worship. Let's continue being in the presence of God. And let it start something that would change our lives. Because we have to go vertical before we go horizontal in everything that we do. The altar will be open. There will be prayer people here to pray with you or for you. If you have a spouse and you guys have been praying over something and maybe they're here with you, maybe they're not here with you, but praying for them, praying for your family, praying for your job, praying for your coworkers, making this something, God, use me in my workplace. Give me a word for this particular person in my life. Or maybe you're someone that just says, God, I need to receive. I go and I go and I go and I do all day long. But can you just please remind me of how you see me and respond to him, because it's only from this position of being in the presence of God that any of us will be able to be a witness out there. We're not supposed to fake it till we make it. That's nowhere in scripture. We're not supposed to live off of our parents' faith in God, our elders' faith in God. It's supposed to be ours. I want to pray and then we're going to get into worship. So if you'd be so kind as just to close your eyes. And God, I just thank you so much that you would care for us like this. From the moment that worship started, God, I know your presence was strong here. There are people here and online that just need you. Maybe they don't know that it's you that they need. I pray, God, that you would open their eyes, open their hearts and their minds to receive the love that you want to pour out on them. I pray, God, for those marriages that need your love. They don't need answers. They need your love, God. I pray for restoration in this place. That you would begin to restore relationships, whether that's between us and you, or that's between us and the people that we work with, people in our family. God, do a work that we were never able to do. It was always about coming and bringing it to you. Speak to us tonight. And like we've been taught to pray, God, we bind up the enemy. This is your house. And if he has set up any defenses, any gates from us not being able to receive from you, you tell us in your word that the gates and those defenses will not be able to stand against the mighty power and the mighty hand of God. And I thank you that that's a promise, God. I thank you that that's a truth. Father, minister, Holy Spirit, fill this place. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. God, move. Move. This time is yours.
Nothing else will do. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. So many things that we've put in front of God. There's so many idols that we've put in front of God. From material things. To relationships. To addictions. God, right now, in this moment, right now, He's saying, I'm standing here right beside you. I'm right here with you in this moment. I'm right here with you in this pain, in this pain. But all I want from you, that's what He says, all I want from you is to be your number one. We are never alone because Jesus Christ is right here. He's not just sitting on a throne up in heaven. He's right here. So I want to sing that out one more time. And God, as I pray that we sing it out. And that all those things that we've put in front of you begin to fall. God, reveal those things to us. Maybe we've had blinders on that we can't even see our own faults. Sing it out as a church, come on. I just want you and nothing else. Nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else, nothing else.
I think sometimes it's really easy for us to, in a perfect setting, worship God, or in a perfect setting, give everything to Him. But like John said, He goes with us everywhere that we go. And this can happen at your house, in your car. I just want to encourage you, like this time that we have here, we need it because the world needs us to have it. And we need to be at the foot of Jesus and say, God, I, at the end of the day, I just want you. You will help me with my fear, my anxiety, my depression, my relationships, my health. God, you will. Because you are the Creator, you are the Father, and you love us. And so if you would, I'd just like to pray. If you bow your heads one last time, we'll just pray this. Father, I thank you that you love us this much. I thank you that there were rhemas that went out. I thank you that there were healings that happened and took place. I thank you, God, that there were relationships that were restored. I thank you, God, that there were people here that saw you for the first time. And like your word says, taste and see that the Lord is good. We were able to do that, God. And I pray for protection as we go, that these would be opportunities for us to be evidence, to be witnesses out there for the world. Not that we need to know the Bible front to back. Not that we need to have this entire list of things that qualify us, but that we know that you love us. Lord, I pray against the enemy trying to steal that truth right there, that you love us. If we know nothing else, we know, God, that you love us. And I pray and ask you to go with us, Holy Spirit, with every house here that's represented, every house that is online represented, that your Spirit would dwell in those houses, that your Spirit would begin to make a move and a change in the decisions that these people are going to make, and that your church would begin to be strengthened like it was in the book of Acts, that there would be nothing that would come our way that would deter us from going to you first in everything in our lives. God, do a work here in this place, because at the end of the day, Lord, you know our hearts and we just want you. That's all that we want. And sometimes it gets clouded, but no more, Lord, no more. I pray for repetition in being able to be in front of you every single day for every person under the sound of my voice. Holy Spirit, do a work in our lives. I thank you in advance for the prayers that were prayed here that are going to be answered, for the prayers that were prayed here that were already answered. God, you are good. And I thank you for what you will do. We love you, God. We praise you and we thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. We love you guys. We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is our